Hello, this is Jean Carriger, President of Capstone Marketing. I am excited today to be talking with Sarah Sorelli, Chief Marketing Officer for Grassi Advisors and Accountants, who was recently named the 2021 Marketer of the Year. Sarah manages a team of 8 experienced marketers who execute marketing, advertising, communications, public relations, practice growth, and business development initiatives on behalf of the firm's more than 350 employees. Now, I could spend the rest of our time together talking about Sarah's accomplishments, so I'll share the one that I believe makes her the proudest. And Sarah, I believe that is your SWOT workbook, because you've talked to me about this before. SWOT stands for Special Weapons and Tactics. It's an automated tool that holds all of the firm's crisis response and recovery services marketing data. That's every person who attended a webinar, called into their hotline, the questions they asked, the industry they operate in, and where they were in the lead generation process, and all rolled out into a dashboard. And I understand that this SWOT initiative resulted in nearly $2 million in ROI. So Sarah.
Thank you.
That's just one
example. I am really proud of this. We are.
You told me you were.
Yeah. It's funny. I feel like the last time we spoke about it, we weren't quite sure how impactful it would really be. And it's evolved so much since then. But this, oh man, we love this thing. Yeah. Yeah, we really do.
Wonderful. You should be very proud of that. So Sarah, congratulations on being named the 2021 Marketer of the Year.
Thank you.
And I know you were able to receive this live because you were at Summit. So how did that, so did you know in advance?
I don't know if I'm supposed to say, but they did tell me, they did tell me in advance. Yeah, they did reach out. It felt so good to be in person. Oh man. I think that, you know, we were local, so they wanted us to have a chance to invite Lou, our CEO, and some others and be there to celebrate in person. So it was really nice. It was really nice to see everyone. And I missed it, but I didn't realize how much I missed seeing everyone until I got there. And There's just nothing like in person. And it was my first experience too, with a really thorough, like hybrid event. And I can't imagine how hard that was to pull together, it was so great to be there in person, and it's such an honor too.
Yeah. I am very much looking forward to Louisville next year, because for sure, you know, we're going to be past everything by then.
Right? Yes.
So Sarah, tell us, what is the biggest change that you made to your marketing program due to COVID? And as a follow-up, which change do you think will continue post-pandemic?
Wow. Yeah, it's amazing to think how much the pandemic has changed everything in relation to how we do business. I think one thing in particular that we did really well was our pivot in strategy, period, and how we managed that pivot. You know, Jean, for as terrible as the pandemic was for us and so many people, it was also some of the most fun that I've ever had in my career. It was so exciting. You know, when March hit last year, we completely pivoted our go-to-market strategy. I always knew the importance of that outside-in mentality in terms of letting the market dictate what services and offerings that we're bringing to market and what we believe to be needed and how best to communicate and market those. But there was no better example than this past year. You know, we had to completely abandon what we were doing for our strategy and our plan as we knew it. And we had to take a step back and really anticipate what services and offerings we believed our clients would need to survive, let alone to grow. And we took that very seriously. So it was a really solid lesson in that outside in mentality, and not just putting out there what we believe to be the best, right? It's what is the market dictating, and that effort in understanding what that is. And I also learned a really valuable lesson in moving quickly. So I think sometimes, I don't know if you can relate, but we often get paralyzed by our need to do everything perfectly and right. So one thing. Yeah, one thing we
sometimes
did.
Sometimes we just need to let it go when it's good
enough,
right?
I know. And looking at things as, progress instead of just waiting until it's perfect to put it out there and let others see it and enjoy it. And so we learned a really valuable lesson in doing things quickly. We moved fast. We moved faster than we usually did. There were often times we were putting, invitations out into the marketplace for a webinar taking place 48 hours later, where we had no idea what we were even going to say yet, where we still had to go through the 100-page document to understand what the heck it is that, for emergency loan support or whatever. And we moved quickly. And I think there's really something to that. And the crisis response and recovery hotline that you referenced, we pulled that together in a day and without really, having a solid and formal process, but we wanted to just make ourselves available. And we said, we'll figure it out, however it unfolds. And that lesson in moving quickly, I think, was something really great too. And I think two very valuable lessons that I'd like to continue and hold on to moving forward.
Right.
Those would, yeah.
Yeah. I think it also shows us what we're able to do, in a crisis.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? That's true too. You start to discover a lot of the undiscovered talent around you when your backs are against the wall and your resources might be more limited than you want them to be. And that like excitement generates new opportunities. And yeah, I totally agree, Gina.
Right, absolutely. So you've talked a little bit about already what I wanted to know about, what you've learned about yourself. Have you learned something different about the firm and the firm's reaction to all of this with the pandemic?
Yeah. It taught me, I think, quite a bit on how successful I can be personally when I narrow my focus on one or two really impactful initiatives. I know you know this already about me, but I tend to be very excitable about a lot of things. I get, I get very excited about most things and I love everything and it sounds good, but it can make focusing very challenging. So, that's not something that comes easily to me. I've had to really, really develop my productivity skills and my focus skills. And, the one book that I always say, The One Thing, it's like my Bible. It just teaches you how to be productive, and it's made for people like me who just have shiny disease and they're all over the place. But one thing again that I learned, last year through all of this, we really narrowed our focus on what we were working on. And we said no to a lot of stuff that we normally would have said yes to. So we focused almost entirely on creating great content, simple content, quickly, putting it out into the marketplace through webinars or alerts, building that SWOT tool, and then nurturing and building out those leads and pursuing those leads with our people. And when normally we'd be like researching the best podcast tool and and doing all these things. And we really narrowed our focus. It taught me a lot,
I think that's a great lesson for everybody because I always pride myself on being able to get things done, but I do have to remind myself of that focus of, okay, I've worked for a bit on this. Now let's spend some time on this when I really should just keep spending time on that first thing. Right.
And
getting that done. And also then get to the next thing.
And it's also hard too, because, I love my peer groups. I love AIM. I love More Global. And there's some talented accounting marketers out there. And I love watching everyone. And it's easy to feel envious when you see another firm or another marketing department with maybe a bigger budget or a bigger team or different tools. And it can sometimes be, a little discouraging if you don't have those things and you think you can't achieve the same success. But we learned, it's great to be inspired by other firms, but everybody's got different needs and different geographic factors and different industries of focus. And You know, it doesn't need to be enough. You don't need to be discouraged. I feel like you don't need to have 25 of the newest and hottest pieces of technology to be right. successful. Right. Technology is supposed to make things easier, not more complicated. And yeah. everything that we did this past year was with everything that you can already find in your fridge, right? With Excel, we used Excel, we used Teams, we used, you know, our website. So that was I learned a lot. Again, you know, it's you can do a lot with a little bit. And it was nice to learn that, because sometimes it's, you know, you yep. want.
And you know what, Sarah, you know, there might be firms out there that do have other tools or things that they use, or you think that they use, but you know, there's always a story behind that too about how well it's actually working or not. Right. So it's I think that's the message of, you know, use what you have and become really efficient at using those tools. You know, there was a stat, I'm not going to remember it now, but how little, I want to say it's about on average, people learn about 20% of the Microsoft suite. So people learn just enough to be dangerous, you know, with Word and Excel and PowerPoint and all this stuff, and they don't know like 80% on the other half of what it can do. So
that's so funny you say that. Yeah. In my mind, when I was just speaking to you, some of that undiscovered talent that we found around us, you know, somebody who works with us, you know, was able to use Excel in a way where it was very similar to Power BI, and what he was able to do in Excel, it didn't feel like Excel anymore. And I'm like, where are they teaching? I did not learn any of that. It's like amazing.
Right. Exactly. So tell me, so let's step off the pandemic a little bit. Overall, what have you found to be the greatest challenge in marketing CPA firms?
There's an incredible amount of pressure to keep innovating as our profession changes quickly. You know, just as an accounting and consulting firm, being at the forefront of continuously innovating and specializing and creating competitive offerings, bringing them to market, you know, creating offerings that are competitive in price with technology and automation. And then how do you even begin to put it out into the universe with social media being so saturated and there being so much noise online? And once you get to your target, how do you connect your, how do you connect your message, and how do you really break through? And I feel like that just keeps getting harder. It's not impossible, but it keeps getting harder. Creating offerings, bringing them to market, making them unique, making them attractive, communicating effectively with so much noise. I think that's it. And it's like an easy answer, but it's so hard to do. And then talent. I feel like consistently bringing on board new talent and interesting talent, and it's a challenge. It's constantly on my mind. I'm sure it's on yours too. Right. Yeah.
But I think especially with the market you're in, you know, being in New York, New Jersey, you know, all that.
There's too many good firms around here. There's too many. I know there are. You're right.
Right. So I think every market feels that same thing, what you were just saying, but the bigger markets, it's exponential. You know, it's just that much more of a challenge for you.
Yeah. And as an accounting marketer too, you know, how do you continue to learn what tools are available, and how do you decide which pieces to automate and which actual warm bodies to bring in to your department, and how do you justify either one, and continuously advocating for a larger budget, improving ROI on everything that we do. And it's tricky. It's fun, but it's tricky. Yeah.
Right. What changes have you noticed in accounting marketing over the last 10 years?
You know, I feel like marketing has truly earned an incredible amount of respect within accounting firms. We've become such a vital part of the core leadership and core strategy, where I don't know that that was always the case, right? I mean, take Eric Bychik, for example, right? Of course, I'll work him into any conversation.
Not even close.
I know. I'll slide him into any conversation just to, but that would have never happened 10 years ago, right? Coming on board as CEO, managing partner of Beach Fleischmann. Oh my God, did he earn that? But like, that's amazing. As you know, our entire industry is like, that is totally possible. And it is. I feel like marketing has proven such a direct and positive impact on practice growth and culture and revenue. You know, we've truly joined the top ranks of leadership and strategy within firms, and we're trusted and we're valued. And at least I'm so grateful that that has been my experience. And I hope that's the experience for most of us. It's not for all of us yet, but I know that that's where we're trending. I think, you know, at least the conversations I'm having, accounting marketers, you know, we know our value now, right? You know, we're trying more and we're asking for more and we're trying things and failing and, you know, we're demanding to be involved and we're earning our right to be there. And it's becoming more and more competitive, which is so fun, but that increased level of respect among, you know, the leadership within our firms is like, wow.
That just warms my heart more than you know. And I can see it too. I do. I'm so proud of Eric, and it is so well deserved for him. But all, you know, I guess I could keep focusing on this pandemic. There's nothing like a crisis to really wake people up
100%. And realize,
wow, that marketing department, I mean, they're working hard. I mean, and look at what you were just saying before about all that content, the focus on the content and the webinars and the programs and the and all of that. Firms can't do that without a marketing department.
No way. Yeah. I think, you know, marketing really stepped up during this pandemic too.
For sure.
And that's, it can't, you know, it really stepped up. That fear, that heightened sense of uncertainty, it debilitated a lot of people, but I feel like the accounting marketers, it motivated us. It really did. I've heard so many stories from our peers about how we stepped up and how everybody stepped up. And it was like the best to hear that. And all the surveys we've taken, I've heard that they've done more and better. And I'm like, hell yeah. You know, that's right. Yeah. It's awesome.
It is. It's very exciting because, you know, another thing I see, you know, back in the old days, it used to be, you know, marketers would work for an accounting firm or a law firm if they couldn't get a real marketing job somewhere else, you know, like in a corporation or an agency or something like that. And now I believe that marketers can look to a career in professional services marketing, that they can have a career path within firms to be successful and grow and become leaders and, you know, do all of these things that we've been talking about.
That's so true. I can remember coming out of college, getting the internship with Witham and me telling my friends, my marketing friends, like, and I'm like, an accounting firm, you know, I'm like, but now shame on me, right? I'm like, I would never answer like that, but they're, at that time, it felt a little like that, you know, it felt a little like, can you update this PowerPoint and not anymore.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Can you order lunch? You know, can you arrange this party? Right. Can you get promo items? Right. Yeah. I think you've also been fortunate, Sarah, to be within firms who are, you know, that are forward thinking and, you know, enable their marketers to really do what they're capable of doing.
Grateful every day. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
So tell me, what do you think is the factor or skill that you have that contributes to your success?
I think it's probably mostly attitude based. I try and have just a generally good attitude. I have totally had my meltdowns, but they're I at least space them out far enough where I can keep going, you know, pretty steadily. So I really do try and have a great positive attitude about most things. And I really do like to try weird things, and it's okay if you fail and I'll try again. I also am like really interested in the psychology of humans and why people do what they do. I probably, Jean, read more about human behavior than I do about marketing. I just am a total nerd when it comes to why, what motivates people to do why they, you know, to do what they do. I really, really enjoy that. And I, that has come in handy more than I will tell you. Oh, so
I bet.
Yeah. So understanding different personalities and how to motivate them really comes in handy. I think I do a pretty good job at that. And also, you know, fostering internal relationships within the firm, I try and be good at it, using the same set of skills, of course. And I try and teach our team that as well. So it's a really good idea to foster those internal relationships with key people to move initiatives forward. Mm-hmm. You know, the heads of finance, heads of legal, operational leaders, anybody who's going to sign the check on whatever it is we're trying to buy, you know, there's value in that. I keep up on my craft, of course, but if I had to put it on my true marketing skills or those other things, I might go the other way. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. But that's definitely true because everybody has their own, you know, internal thinking and, you know, the way they do things. So to be able to understand that better or understand their personalities better, perhaps.
And it helps you get in the minds of the buyers too. So right. when you're crafting your marketing content, you're speaking in such a way to speak to, you know, certain human characteristics. You know, when somebody buys one of our services, they don't buy one of our services because they need one of our services. They're buying one of our services because they need to protect something or they want to, you know, be competitive in an area to look good in front of their peers, you know? So if you understand and dig at that level, exactly. Wow, the power that's in that. And we try to leverage that.
Yeah. I think you just said a very important thing. So I know you've met, you know, many talented marketers, you know, you referenced about them before and all. Do you see any commonalities in their skills or talents that you feel have made them successful?
Yeah, there are some really creative firms out there. Too many to name right now, but I, you know, every time, that's what I love the most, honestly, about the peer groups. And anytime we get to, you know, a chance to get together and hearing experiences, and the most successful people that I talk to are really just like not afraid to try something different. And they're good at getting inspiration from outside our industry too, and trying something, and they don't mind being the first person to test it out and not abandoning it entirely if it doesn't work, but then changing it. You know, another person I love that I mention all the time is Lori Colvin from Armanino. She's a saint and she's so friggin' good at what she does and her team. And she gets on the phone with me anytime I want to talk something out, and they do such an amazing job out there. But you know, I love that. I love that in a professional, somebody who is willing to try something new and learn from it, share their lessons with others too, and right. Those who are willing to leverage peer relationships, I think they get a lot out of that as well. Mm-hmm. I do. Absolutely. For sure.
Absolutely. So, what is your best piece of advice for accounting marketers?
To do whatever you can to get yourself into those high level conversations within the firm. So understanding the goals of the firm very clearly, having access to those conversations, ask as many questions as you can. You know, the more that we can do that, the better we can align whatever it is we're working on with the end goal, and actually have an impact. And if you're not there, ask to be there. You know, not wait to be asked, ask to be there. If they say no, get the heck out of there, you know, or really make a case for it. And just the more clearly you understand at that level, even the challenges, the problems, the issues, the goals, the better you can align the efforts, the better you're spending your resources, the more ROI they're going to see, more successful you're going to be, the happier everybody's going to be. So that was the best thing that I really ever did, was I asked to be involved. And if I couldn't sit in on the actual meeting, I asked for notes, or I asked for anything relevant for me to know. You know, I really did that. And I do that, even now sometimes, and it's important. And that would be some of my biggest mm-hmm. and best advice. Mm-hmm.
So let me ask you an unplanned question. So
yeah,
your managing partner, Lou Grassi, said he appreciates that you aren't afraid to challenge his ideas if you feel you have a better solution. So tell us your approach to presenting those alternative ideas.
Yeah, I love Lou, but like he can be super intimidating. he can be for those. I said this at Summit too. You know, he's very New York. But again, Gene, like it comes down to understanding Lou and what motivates him and how to position the ask, in favor of what is and what motivates him and understanding why he feels the way that he feels. Thank God Lou is as tough as he is. He's got 350 families that he's responsible for, every day, every decision. I can't imagine what that must feel like. You know, every decision you make ultimately decides the course of the ship. And that's a lot of pressure. I feel for him. So I am also, very mindful about the things that I'm saying to him. Because I feel that same pressure and I absorb some of that pressure. But I use branding as an example for this. When we decided to rebrand, Grassi had been about a 40-year brand at that time. And I had heard that there were some folks in my shoes sooner who had approached the idea of branding and it was shot down. And I thought to myself and I said, I can understand why somebody who's spent 40 years building a brand would feel some type of way about changing it. There's a legacy there. So when I approached that conversation, I was ready to tell him, we're not going to change it. We're not going to blow it up. We just want to take what you've built for 40 years and enhance it so more people see it and more people like it and more people can understand it. And you have access to sharing your legacy with more people. And I came prepared, with prototypes of what it might look like to take that fear away from him. And when I talk to Lou, I'm quick and he's got six meetings and one's in 3 minutes. And, it's like, so it took me a long time to learn how to do that. But I try and that's how I try. And it scares me. It just scares me every time I have a different opinion than Lou, but.
Right. But you have the courage to do that. And that's a great lesson because obviously he respects what you have to say. Otherwise you wouldn't be in the position that you're in. Yeah. But also I think what was one aspect of what you just said, it's so important to know the person, like you were talking about before, and the best way that person's going to receive that message. So you're telling me that you're doing your homework ahead of time. You're anticipating the questions he's going to ask you. In the branding example, you had some examples of what this might look like. And also, so you were prepared.
Yeah. There are even, I've heard, the name escapes me now. I'll have to find it again. But there are even tools that, like extensions that will connect to LinkedIn and run these personality type reports. So you know how to approach that person, how they're motivated, what they're probably thinking, what to focus on, what to stay away from.
Right.
I remember, I forget the name of it. I'll have to find it, but I love everything like that. I'm like,
right. Right. Yeah. Okay. So final question, what is your best piece of advice for managing partners?
The flip side of my advice for the marketers. So to pull your marketing people into the conversation. Yeah. So if managing partners are not already including your marketing and practice growth and BD people into your very highest level strategy and conversations, you're not taking advantage of all of that opportunity. Tie them very closely. Communicate with them, tell them what you're trying to accomplish, give them a chance to be a part of it, task them with being a part of it. Make that the crux of what they're doing for you and then trust the advice they give you. Because it's oftentimes going to look different than what you might think. And it might be expensive at times to trust the advice and to welcome that new part into the strategy. And I've only ever seen it be successful. That would be my advice. Yeah.
Wonderful. Well, we've been talking today with Sarah Cirelli, the Chief Marketing Officer at Grassi Advisors and Accountants and the 2021 Marketer of the Year. Sarah, congratulations again, and thank you for your time today.
Thank you so much.